And we're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN as we get set for segment number three here today. And Jesse Romo standing by here on Zoom. He is the director of the Manhattan Regional Airport. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Glad to have you once again. And I always like when we have some good news to report from the airport. I heard a few days ago in our conversation with City Manager Ron Fear that we've got some great numbers here for the month of July that you're going to share with us this morning.
Yeah, we got the final counts in, and we had 6,443 people fly out in July of 2021. And in comparison, in 2019, you know, pre-COVID, we had 6,487. So we were about 42 shy of exceeding last year's or 2 years ago numbers. But pretty much we're right on pace with pre-COVID. So it's great to see. June was also great. You know, June was only 8% down from June of 2019. So going from 8% down and pretty much flat with 19 in July, it's good to see people out traveling again. And right now, though, we are still being led by the leisure traveler. So these are people that are taking vacation more than they are traveling for business. So that's been a trend nationwide. We're hoping that continues, but we also want to see business travel come back, as really business travel is what sustains the industry as a whole. So hopefully, you know, conferences start opening back up and people are able to fly and fly safely. You know, we have a lot of our practices are still in place from when COVID began. We do a lot of additional cleaning, deep cleaning, sanitizing of high touch surfaces. You know, we have additional hand sanitizing stations and social distancing signs. And we have a lot of the same feel that you get at larger airports and airports across the nation. And it's a good point to bring up too. We are still under federal direction, federal law to have mask requirements. So I know it's a new policy right now for a city that's starting today, but for the airport, it's been in place since pretty much beginning of COVID. And we're going to continue to have a mask be mandated by the federal government through mid-September. We're still watching to see if that's going to expire or get extended. But right now, you know, there's a lot of abilities for travelers to feel like they're flying and traveling safe. And so we're happy to see them get back on board, going to flymhk.com to book their travel. And it's really good to see, too, how many people are out there in the parking lot as well.
Yeah, it's nice to see the parking lot filling back up once again. I don't know if the airlines there are doing this or not, but is anyone requiring proof of vaccines yet? Or is that a new thing that you're hearing might come at some point?
That's one of the issues that we're tracking. We haven't seen anything come out concretely yet, but there's been discussions, you know, of having like a vaccine passport. You know, not seeing that, but you do need to be careful about where you're traveling to, especially internationally. There's a lot of requirements for having COVID tests done, and the particular type of test that they require, the amount of time that you have before. So, you know, maybe it's a saliva test, maybe it's a you know, a rapid test, but it's whether it's 48 hours or within 36 hours, all those things kind of differ depending on where you're headed to. So you got to do a lot of research when you're traveling, especially going abroad, and you know, the international rules are a little different right now. But and it was nice to have, you know, the Riley County Health Department was in the terminal for a while there, and were able to help out a lot of traveling public. And you know, we're grateful that they were able to do that for us, you know, for a short duration there. But yeah, when you go to travel, make sure you do your research on what's required for you.
All right, very good. Yeah, and there's a lot of research to do. I didn't realize. I think they said on the CBS News this morning that they just opened up travel to Canada here, and I guess that's been closed for quite some time. Of course, folks traveling internationally from Manhattan would have to go probably to Dallas or Chicago to do that, but it sounds like now you can.
Now you can, yeah. Canada's back open, and like I said, just depending on where you want to go, every country seems to have their own rules, so whether or not they're open is one thing. How many people they allow and for COVID testing, and whether or not they test you when you get there. All those things come into play. But yeah, it was great to see Canada get open. And you're right, Brandon. You know, from Manhattan, you can connect to anywhere in the world through Dallas and Chicago. And we've got our three flights to Dallas going on right now, three daily flights on the CRJ-700s, which those are the nice, big regional jets that give you more leg room, more overhead compartment space. You know, so it's just a nice experience. And then we got our two flights a day going to Chicago. So it's good to see us get back into action and feel like we have a little bit of normalcy going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we're talking with Jesse Romo, director of the Manhattan Regional Airport. And let's hope conferences start to come back online, because you said it's kind of like a domino effect. If one thing goes, it seems like everything kind of goes after that, and being able to sustain that kind of travel through the fall and the winter would be really nice to see.
Yeah, you know, like you said, we're one component of a whole ecosystem as it relates to travel in the industry. You know, and it impacts conventions and your travel and business travel and not just vacation travel. So, you know, as we're seeing a lot of these conferences go to hybrid and offering virtual attendance, we're seeing some people, choose those options instead. And it's going to be interesting to see in the long term. You know, nothing beats face-to-face, at the end of the day. But it is nice to have supplemental online abilities to attend some of these events. So I think we'll see a little bit of that linger on. But at the end of the day, people still want to get, their face-to-face time.
Sure. Well, and we've seen a plethora of grants get awarded here from the federal government, including a number for the Manhattan Regional Airport. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's been three major congressional acts that have been passed to give relief for COVID-19 that have impacted airports. And it started last year. You know, the first one came out was CARES Act, and we got $2.1 million for the airport. CURSA was next at the end of the year, and that came out with $1.1 million. And then the most recent is ARPA. ARPA has $1.5 million. So between those three acts of CARES, CURSA, and ARPA, we got in total $4.7 million of relief towards the airport. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of perspective, we have about a $1.5, $1.6 million operating budget. And so when we can, reimburse ourselves for all of our expenses on our operating and maintenance, budget, it's a huge benefit, not just to us, but the city of Manhattan as well, because the city of Manhattan covers about, 60% of our budget. Airport revenues cover the rest. But when you got, the reimbursements coming in the form of these grants, it's been a huge relief for us, for the city and also our tenants, because we've been able to do a lot of creative things to help our tenants out as well, especially in 2020.
Now, any of that money, can you earmark any of that for projects at the airport at all? Or does that all have to just be spent a certain way?
So each one of those congressional acts came with different set of rules. And so I would need to go through every single project to see what's eligible and to see, how much money we can pull from each of those grants. Right now, though, we're utilizing the reimbursement of our operating and maintenance budget. That even includes salaries. So all those things that we expend on a monthly basis, we can, pull down from those grants. If you want to switch that money to projects, one of the easiest things to do, though, is just to draw it down based on your O&M and then use it, it kind of like as a reserve city fund. But it's it would be nice to have, some additional projects. There's always you can always find ways to spend money, right? But we're trying to be strategic about this. We've been meeting with management and talking through different ways that we can utilize the funds, in the future. So it's one of those things that it's a good benefit. Again, if you get to talk to your congressional delegation, please thank them for the support that they've been giving us.
Well, I know the Congress has been working on an infrastructure bill here for the roads and bridges. I don't know if airports are included in that or not, but you guys have a big runway project that could probably utilize some of that if that comes to fruition. Have you heard anything on that front?
Yeah, so there's a huge infrastructure bill, like you said, and it does have an aviation component. There's a lot of funding that's going to be made available for airports through the normal FAA, grant programs, and hopefully we'll see some additional supplemental money as well come from that. As far as our runway project goes, that's still, construction is expected to physically occur in 2023. Right now, we're at about 60% design completion. And today we're going to have our airport advisory board meeting, and our main consultant and engineer is coming in from Olson, Diane Hofer, and she's going to be presenting on to the board our 6% design plans. And later this month, we'll be presenting that same plan to the city commission during a work session. And so we're kind of making progress along the design route and anticipate going out to bid next spring and then be able to have a construction agreement in place by next fall of 22. So it's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things that you got to coordinate between all the parties, a lot of different lines of business within the FAA that's involved as well. You know, we've been involving our tenants and making the airline aware. And, you know, when we finally do have construction in 2023, there will be some disruption to air service, and there'll be some times where both runways are going to be shut down. And so we're trying to do our best in this design process to find a way to mitigate that. You're never going to eliminate it. You know, that's part of the challenge of having an intersecting runway design. When you have work done on the intersection, both runways just, you know, end up getting shut down. So it's filled with a lot of challenges, but I'm feeling more and more confident each day as we're moving forward in this design process. So I'm really looking forward to having this 60% design completion presentation today.
Absolutely. No, that's a big project to undertake. And so just so I'm clear here, whenever that does take place here in the future, in the next couple of years, the airport's going to be shut down. Is that right?
There will be a period of time where both our runways will be closed. The airport will still remain open for rotor, so we'll still get helicopter activity coming in. So it won't be a complete closure. There will be a short period of time where we have disruption to air service as well, and that's where we're working with American Airlines on to make sure that they're fully aware of what our intentions and schedules are, so they can plan around that. You know, and I would just point out too, Brandon, that this is not unusual. We have airports like our configuration all across the nation. Airlines are used to having to schedule around construction activities because from time to time, runways, you know, have to be reconstructed and worked on and get shut down. So it's just one of those things that we got to, you know, keep everybody abreast of. And, you know, as we move through the design process and keep everyone included, and we'll be communicating those things out to the public too. And right now it's in design. So it's, they're, you know, estimates on time and duration, and not till we get further along and actually start the process will we have a better grasp on timelines and impacts.
All right. Yeah. A couple of years down the road at the very minimum there. So, all right. Well, good update here from the airport. Anything else before we go, Jesse?
No, that's it. Again, you know, we appreciate everyone coming out and supporting the local airport and flying MHK. So appreciate the time, Brandon.
Absolutely. Jesse Romo, again, director of the airport. Appreciate you being here with us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap up that segment. We'll come back more in focus after this on K-Man.